Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
I got a couple bulletins. Bulletin bloopers, real quick. These are church bulletin bloopers. You ready? Fasting and prayer conference this weekend includes meals. It's not much fasting, is it? The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight is searching for Jesus. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of some things you don't want around the house. Bring your husbands. I really like this next one. Are you ready? Tonight the sermon is, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. I just think it's so important to have fun. I had an uncle, he never wanted to smile. He went to church every week. I never seen him have fun. I didn't want that. I'm gonna have me some fun with my kids. Amen. We are going to continue. So we're gonna go to Romans chapter 10, Tim. Verses 1 through 5, after we read the vision, okay? All right. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, but the man who does those things shall live by them. So, this idea of our heart, the Bible teaches that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, right? With all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God wants all of your heart. So think about this. It says in Proverbs, out of your heart springs the issues of your life. So, you are where you are today because of where your heart's been. See that? When you center your life around God, He's got you where you are today. But when you center your life around yourself, you are where you are today. You can't blame anyone for where you are today because it's come out of your own heart. That's why it's important to understand the heart. The heart is not your blood-pumping heart. The heart is literally what you center your life around. And what you center your life around, that's what shows up in your life. You see that? Now, I think it's significant to say this. It says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And this word sick encompasses all that's connected to the fall. Death, disease, addiction, all these things that destroy our lives. So, he says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The word deferred means to comply with another's opinion. To comply with another's opinion. When you are in agreement with another's opinion, other than God's, it makes your heart sick. You see that? And God wants you to comply with His opinion, His will, His way. See, sickness comes when we just want to try to do it our way. But when we do it His way, healing comes. Healing comes. And we all need healing. We all need healing. Then it says, but when desire comes, it's the tree of life. The word desire means the will of God. When the will of God comes in your life, it connects you to the tree of life, all the way back in the garden before Adam and Eve fell. So now I'm connected to the tree of life when I fulfill the will of God. See, that's why it's so important for you and I to understand the will of God. When we fulfill the will of God, now we are connected to the tree of life. Now we're discovering who we are and what God's plan and purpose for our lives are, and we are fulfilled doing His will. You see that? God had a plan for your life before you were even born. That plan manifests and unfolds as you fulfill His will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the whole idea, is you and I fulfilling God's will. When we do that, the dots start to come together, life starts to make sense, and we start to enjoy life. We're happy. If you're miserable, frustrated, and discouraged all the time, you're not getting a hold of God's will. When you get a hold of God's will, it brings life. You see, when you don't understand, it's like those slaves that you stay in bondage. You see, you're not submitting to the righteousness of God. You're doing your own thing. Making sense? Come on, has it? Amen. So our heart is very important to God. That's why He wants all of our heart. Now, let's look at this. For Moses writes about the righteousness of the law. How many of you know we're not here to live by the law? We're not here to live by the law, the Ten Commandments. We're here to live by grace and truth. You see this? The commandments we live by today are two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two commandments. On those two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Are you with me? Nobody can fulfill the law. You can't fulfill the law, and I can't fulfill the law. I can't fulfill the Ten Commandments, and you can't. No one can. Nobody ever has, except Jesus. Jesus is the only one who lived a perfect life. And He did it for you and I. And when He died on the cross, He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. So now we're going to talk about righteousness today, and we're going to talk about submission. Righteousness means to be in right relationship with God. It also means equity in character and action. So when I'm righteous and I'm fulfilling that, I have equity in my character, character of God, and my actions. And it also means to be in right relationship with God. Righteousness. So now think about this. So inequity means outside of the character of God. And the Bible says there are iniquities and sins that have separated us from God, that He can't hear us. And then it says, like the wind, we all fade away like the wind. In other words, when you are in inequity, it pulls you away from God. See, the Bible says that your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you from your fathers as far back as 3 and 4 generations. So iniquity is a pattern that holds you in sin. But when that's broken, it no longer has the power to hold you in sin. When you begin to understand it, see? You don't try to do your own righteousness. Now you understand God's righteousness, and you're willing to submit to His righteousness. And that brings freedom in your heart and your life. You see this? That brings equity of character and action in your life. Iniquity moves you away from God and holds you in patterns that aren't healthy. Because, see, the patterns that aren't healthy come from the seed, the Father. He plants the seed. And that's, some of us have patterns in our life that we don't understand. You may not know your Father, but you got ways just like Him. You got things in you that you act just like Him. You see that? Donita said the other day, she goes, you know, there's something in me, I don't, she don't miss work. She won't miss work. I don't care what's going on. She's going to get there. And she's going to be on time. And she says, you know, my mom never really had to work. So I really didn't learn it from her because she stayed home and raised me. And I said, I'll bet you if we find out about your dad, because he died when she was 5, I bet you he had that kind of work ethic. I would be willing to say that. But you see, that's a pattern. That's not a negative pattern. That's a good pattern. See that? So, but there are negative patterns that hold us in sin that have been passed on to us from our fathers and keep us from understanding who we are in Christ if we're not pursuing it. So, stay with me, please. This is good stuff. Now look at this. The man who does those things shall live by them. So, in other words, if you only understand the law, the law condemns you, and it brings death. It condemns you. You ever feel guilty and feel condemned and shame? That comes from the law. Guilty, condemned, and shame. It doesn't come from God. When you know who you are, and you know that you're the righteousness of God, guilt, condemnation, and shame dissipate. I see people at Kroger's and they'll tell me, you know, Pastor Fred, you just don't know how I've been living lately. I'm not ready to come back to church. That's when you need to go to church. You see that? Listen to me. When you sin now, after you've been born again, it's in the physical realm. When you've been born again, that's spiritually. When God sees you, He sees righteousness. He sees the blood of Jesus. When He sees you, He sees Jesus. Because you're a spiritual being. You've been created in the image of God. And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, think about this. So you're a spiritual being. And you can't worship God outside of the Spirit. See that? So you're righteous. When you're born again, it says in Ephesians 4:23, that you're created in righteousness. So now look, when you were born, you were born in sin. David said you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. In Psalms 51:5-6. But now when you're born again, now you're born spiritually. And now that's you. That's the real you. The real you. Guess what? Listen to me real good. You can't sin. When you're born again, you can't sin. Come on now. You religious folks might want to get up and leave, but I'm telling you something. Listen. When you understand this, you're born again. You can't sin. Can't. Because see, that fellowship begins with God when you become born again. God can't fellowship with sin. You are righteous. It's a free gift. Jesus paid a price for our sin, past, present, future. Now He gives us His righteousness when we're born again. You see that? You see, if it wasn't future sins, the cross would never work. We're all in the future, right? After the cross. So when we're born again, we're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're new creations. New creations. Now think about this. Jesus said you must be born again to see the kingdom. The word see means understand. You can't even understand the things of God unless you're born again. When you're born again, you begin to start to understand This starts to make sense. You see this? Now think about this. Go back to the first, real quick. Go back to the first, number one. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, Israel, is that they may be saved. Now, Israel thought they were saved. These are the Jews. They thought they were saved, but they weren't. You know why? Because they wouldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus as the Savior. They said, who's it, born in a barn? Coming in here on a donkey? That's not my Savior. Tell you what, he shows up in a lot of different ways, if you're paying attention. And they wouldn't accept him because they didn't think he was the Messiah. But it talks about in the chapter 9, we talked about it last week, that the Gentiles have attained righteousness. The Gentiles were into drunkenness and debauchery and all kinds of different sexual stuff. But when they got saved, they showed up in the temple. And they said, we're here. Well, how did you? Here's the religious folks. How did you get in here? Well, I was drinking at the bar last night. And there was a guy preaching out front of the bar. And I called on Jesus. And I'm saved. He told me to come up in here. They had everything that they thought they had after they'd been doing it for years. Like that. Did you get that? Because when you're born again, you get it all. But you see, if you don't understand that, you try to do it in your own strength. You can't do this in your own strength. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. And you need people to help you. Now, think about this. We got to look at this word, submit. Give me back, go down about three, to number three. For they, talking about the religious folks, the Jews, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Submit is the big word, is the big word last week and this week. Now listen to what the word submit means. It means to yield or surrender oneself to the will or the authority of another. To yield or surrender oneself to the will or the authority of another. So now think about this. My daughter, Olivia, she's been sending material to colleges and different places she's going to go to school. So she said, she calls me Pops. She says, Pops, I had submitted this paper, I submitted that paper, I submitted this, and I submitted this. We see, there's all this legal stuff you have to submit if you're going to be a part of that school. See that? If you don't submit, you're not going to be a part. You hear that? You're not going to be. It's not going to work for you. It's the same way it is in God. When you submit to Him and His righteousness, He starts putting it together for you, and you begin to understand who you are and why you're here through submission. Sub means under, mit means mission. Now you come under His mission, God's mission. God is your source. He's your creator. He wants to show you everything about you, things your eyes haven't seen, the things your ears haven't heard, things that haven't entered your heart yet about you. He wants to show them to you. And it comes through submission. When you're not willing to submit, that's because you're not teachable. You see that? You're not teachable. If you're not teachable, he says in Proverbs 12, he says, someone who's not teachable and doesn't want to be corrected, he says, that's stupid. I didn't say you're stupid. God says that. When you're not willing to be taught, it says that we're to receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save our soul. The word meekness means teachable. You have to be teachable. There's some people been in church 20, 30 years, aren't teachable, still miserable. They say, oh, this don't work because they don't understand. I had someone come up to me and say, they've been in church for 20 years. I've never heard this before. I wish I'd have heard this 20 years ago. And this is helping me. And everything's changing in their life. When you begin to understand that you are, when you're born again, you're the righteousness of God. We had somebody who got their feelings hurt a couple weeks ago in the church. And somebody said something, and they got hurt real bad. Well, you got new Christians. They're going to say hurtful things. They're going to say hurtful things to people. It's just going to happen. It says, listen, it says in Hebrews 5:13, it says, they that only drink of milk, meaning new Christians, they are nothing, they are yet babes, and they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. So that, and the word babe means not able to talk. People that are new Christians, they aren't able to talk yet. Sometimes they're the most hurtful things to be around. Up in the church. But if you don't know you're righteous, you get your feelings hurt. You get upset at what somebody said about you. We need to grow up. When you know your righteousness, you can say anything about you. Right? That's why he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You see, when you know you're righteous, no matter what anybody says to you, you're not going to hurt me. Now, you think they talk about me? I know they do. I'm all right with it. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. Are you with me? And we're going to see some baptisms, and we're going to keep moving forward. Are you with me? And that's the way we need to live life. You can't get caught up with what people say, because we got to get concerned with what God is saying. Amen? Go with me to 1 John 3:9. Guess what? If you're born again, I want you to chew on this. You can't sin. Whoever has been born of God, help me out, does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. Did you get that? Because he has been born of God. I used to look at that and think, my God, I keep going. I wouldn't look at it again for another month. Because I knew that I sinned. I knew me. You know, when you know you and you know, but you sit here, now listen to me. Last week I shared, I'm going to share it again. Okay, a couple weeks ago I went to Kroger's. And I had a busy day, and Donita had a busy day, and Olivia. And they were at home, it was raining, it was cold. And I thought, well, I'm going to go get some groceries. Well, I was getting groceries, I was getting what they like and what I like. And I kind of like to do that, you know, and take it home and be the man, you know. It's kind of a rewarding thing, isn't it, Trey, to be the man of the house and be the provider, you know, right? But now watch. Watch. So I'm looking at this line, and self-checkout, I've gotten good at that. I can do that now. Donita taught me that. So I can go right through, but it was full, this big line. And I'm thinking, I don't want to wait in this line. I'm tapping my foot. I'm in a hurry. So I look over, and there's a merchant, and there's a cashier, and in the old time school lines. So, and there was a woman in there with all of her groceries. I thought, well, there's only one woman, I can get right through there. So I go and I get in line, I start getting my stuff out, I put the little thing out there, and she's just going on and on talking. Just talking to beat the band, you know. And all these groceries, she's got a little girl with her. And she puts her card in. Don't work. So I'm saying, okay, come on now. My foot gets going. I said, she does it again. Doesn't work. So she's talking. And so I said, okay. I said, come on now. And I'm looking at her. I said, you know, if you would have fixed your hair, if you would have combed your hair before you came here, something would work. I didn't say that. I thought that. Huh? That's what I thought. Then I said, look at you. What, you got your pajamas on or what? I'm thinking this. Well, that's my, you're my pastor? Yes, I am. But I'm making a point. Listen, I'm thinking that way, and now I'm ready to buy her groceries just to get her moving. But she found the card, and she got it, and it worked. And you know, she talked all the way out. Kept talking, but I'm thinking, you know what? I caught myself. I said, God, forgive me. You know, that's what it says. We have an advocate with the Father. I said, Father, forgive me for even thinking such things. Here's my point. When something gets in your way, how you want to do it, you become judgmental and critical. But when it's God's way, you're free. See, when I got back in touch with God, all that negativity left me. And see, if I wouldn't have got back in touch with God and submitted, then I would have taken that home to Donita and Olivia. They didn't even know I was thinking all that till last week, and I told them. See that? I mean, you know, I got home, and boy, we had a party. Oh, you got this, you got that, you know. But they didn't know. See, it keeps you free when you stay submitted to the will of God. Are you catching this? But you get judgmental and critical when things don't go your way. And see, it says in Romans 2, it says you condemn yourself when you begin to judge somebody else. You see, you bring condemnation on yourself. You condemn yourself. The word condemn means not fit for use. It means to forfeit. You forfeit God's will in your own life by condemning and judging somebody else. Did you catch that? That's sin. I'm righteous. Well, why would you think that way? Like a you're my pastor. You shouldn't think that way. We all do that. You may not talk about their hair. What's someone's hair got to do with a line in Kroger's? Where's that come from? That's your flesh. You see that? That's your flesh, and that's your way, and you want to move. I know I'm talking to the right people. But I'm righteous. My spirit is right. God didn't see me thinking that way. When you sin in that area, that realm, physical realm, you bring the condemnation on yourself. And see, if I would have went home with a negative attitude, and I wouldn't have spewed all that, yeah, there's a woman in the line, and she wouldn't move, she's just talking, and going on and on, I could have affected the whole household. And they wouldn't have enjoyed anything I brought home. Not even me. Are you with me? But if I stay under the will of God, woohoo, it's a party! Freedom! Am I making sense? Go with me to 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, God wants you and I to love in truth. Truth. You see, the truth is, when you know who you are, you value who you are.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.